Welcome to another Carlin Live Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
Sean Carlin.
Now, recently we had the Olympics. I enjoyed watching some of the volleyball.
I love watching the volleyball, both indoor and beach volleyball. Loved it.
Yeah, well, we've got a volleyball person on today in Shane Hennessy from Gawler. Welcome to the show, Shane.
Thank you, Robert.
Now, first off, how long have you been involved in volleyball?
Since 1977.
1977. Just quickly give us a synopsis of your playing career.
1977, started playing for the Institute of Technology, and that team progressed to play for the State League in South Australia, the highest possible level that could be played, and then took over coaching, some coaching at that level, and then I went away for work. And continued to do volleyball in the northwest of Western Australia, Groote Eylandt, in the Northern Territory, and then came back to here and picked up a little bit of stuff around at Gawler.
So how long have you been involved in volleyball in Gawler?
About 1988, probably.
Wow. Now, I know you're still playing volleyball now, and is that one of the great things of volleyball, that it can be played over a long period of time?
Absolutely. And, like, I'm still playing and I'm just about to turn 65. I'm not the oldest person in the competition in Gawler. And I know that there's a team of women in Poland that you have to be 90 to actually join the team. Like, you can't play unless you're 90.
That's sensational, isn't it? And that's, I mean, volleyball, watching at the Olympics, like, the athleticism and the power is just overwhelming. You see them, their serves and like the spiking is just, it really, like, I mean, we do a lot of volleyball at school, but watching that level of volleyball, it's just a completely different sport. But as I was saying, then you can play it at a completely different level.
Well, I think it's like, you know, a lot of sports. Like, you can keep playing a lot of sports. You just have to accept that you're not going to play tennis like Roger Federer, you know, or you're not going to play volleyball like whichever of the major volleyball players you're looking at internationally. You know, like, you're not going to jump that high, you're not going to hit that hard, you're not that fit. Yeah, you know, it's just not going to happen. Yeah. But you can still play the sport.
Now, in the local sort of area, there's various junior grades. You got your ninjas, your jump juniors, and the joust champ. Tell us a little bit about how that's developed around the northern areas and where they play and the age groups.
Okay, so the ninjas is directed towards the year 4 to year 7, roughly. We don't put strict.
You mean age group, not school year?
No, age group. School year, year 4 to year 7, all right? So we don't put strict guidelines around that, like it's what's available. And we do that at Tyndale in Salisbury East, at John McVitie Centre in Davern Park, at St Bridget's in Evanston, and at Trinity at Starplex. And that level of volleyball, it's a sport, because it doesn't have contact, it's a sport that actually relies on skill. So you can't just sort of go, I want to be on a volleyball team, at pretty much at any level. You have to actually learn a little bit about how to play it. So a lot of what we do at that level is coaching, and training programs. And then we introduce kids to games, the idea of games, all right? And then as they go up into the next level, the jump juniors, which is around about year 8 to year 10, school year, you go to higher level coaching but also more gameplay. And then in the joust jam, which is the once you get to about year 10 plus, the idea there is it's just basically games. You're now into a competition, all right? What we're aiming towards is to get enough of these competitions, or these instances, if you like, happening in the north, that we can then go, well, why don't we talk to the parents of the kids in each of these ninjas competitions and see whether they'd like to put together a ninjas team for that particular area, and then compete against the other ninjas teams around the place and start our own little league, if you like, of ninjas.
So your club, Northern Knights, have obviously been working very hard in that area, because that's a big growth in the last couple of years then for volleyball here.
Yes. Yeah, it is. We found ourselves in a position where we had to basically withdraw from the state league competition and move back into a mode of building, trying to build the number of people actually playing and who are aware of it. And I have to say that one of the things that's happened is that there is a very, very popular called haiku, which is a sort of like Japanese manga type thing, which kids are getting to on Netflix, or they're reading the things and they're coming out going, I want to do this. A number of parents who sort of approach us and say, oh, my kid wants to play volleyball because they've been watching haiku, you know, and so it's fantastic.
It's amazing. So there, because that cultural stuff brings about change.
Mm. And the program itself actually provides the kids with quite a lot of like proper volleyball knowledge before they come, you know, and so you've got these, well, it gets quite funny because you end up with sort of like 8-year-olds trying to do jump serves because they've seen it, like, you know, this is how you serve, and you sit there and go, well, actually you've got to learn to hit the ball first.
Let's start with the basics.
Now, tell us a little bit about the history of the Northern Knights. They started around about 2011.
Yeah.
They had to play State League down at Mount Lofty. I mean, that's a bit of a hike. Tell us about how they handled that.
Well, that's where the competition is, you know, like you just can't help that. And it's problematic because people work, you know, and the age group that you're looking at to play in that particular level competition, which happens on a Saturday, and you're looking primarily, you know, in that 20 to 30 age group at the highest level, maybe into their 30s. And they're working, they're often tertiary students, so they've got other jobs to try and support their tertiary studies and that sort of stuff. And then they've got the travel, you know. And we had the same problem with juniors. Like the juniors from the north, we had some kids who were wanting to play at junior level, and then their competition was either at Brighton or Unley High, and you had to be there by 6 o'clock on a Friday. Trek your way through Adelaide.
Tell us a little bit about any local products that have gone through the system and been successful. We were talking off air about Trent O'Brien.
Yeah, Trent O'Brien came out with the Northern Knights a few years ago, I suppose, and, you know, rapidly identified his talent. One of the pathways, and probably the main pathway, is to try and identify the kids early, and then they go into the sort of Volleyball South Australia program. And in fact, they would have done that yesterday. There would have been a whole lot of talent identification activities taking place down at SASE yesterday for the kids who have, well, to try and identify the kids with potential. All right, so they just look for kids who are playing the sport. They don't care about what their skills are at this point. All right, they want to know how tall might you end up being, how fit you are, how committed you are, how flexible you are, you know, those sorts of things. And then they operate on the attitude of, as they should, we'll teach you.
And with Trent, I believe he was picked in a under-18 or junior Australian team, but it sort of got cancelled because of the pandemic. Tell us a little bit about that. Is he sort of going to go on? Is there others that have come through the system that have represented Australia?
From around here, not for many, many years that I'm aware of. So I really can't answer the question.
So will he get his opportunity?
Well, I understand that Trent has accepted a scholarship to a university in Canada, which means he will get 4 years of very, very solid volleyball training. He will also come away with a degree. And his pathway from there will be probably via the AIS, the Australian Institute of Sport, but also possibly straight into professional leagues. And the professional leagues generally in Europe or in Asia. The professional volleyball is not a biggie yet in the States because they basically take the best of their college athletes and turn them into the national team, if you like, unlike basketball, which takes the best of the professionals.
Do we have – so here, like we've got our State League, which is our highest competition.
Yes.
Is there a national competition or is it national championship? So there would, you would represent the state. How do you represent the state?
Yeah, no, interestingly, because the pathway years ago, because the pathway to the national team was not seen to be through the state championships, the national championships was basically done away with at the adult level. So there's national championships for juniors because that's still on your pathway, but it's not much point having 35-year-olds competing in a national competition to try and identify who can play for Australia, because you've got to actually have the 21-year-olds competing in a national competition to identify who can play for Australia. And so that national competition was done away with, but there has been a move recently to sort of do a sort of interstate competition at not so much at a state level but at a club level.
So one of the things, obviously this last Olympics, that we had representation in the beach volleyball. Mm-hmm. Indoor volleyball, we were talking off air about how difficult it is for our indoor teams to actually qualify for the Olympics. Can you tell us about that? Because most people would not understand the qualifying process.
So volleyball in Australia is in the Asian zone, and the Asian zone is all of Asia. All right, and I think one of the things that a lot of people often forget about Asia, because their geography is not that good, is that Asia goes from halfway through Russia down through Saudi Arabia and, you know, all of those sorts of places, right across. And then because volleyball internationally has refused to accept that Oceania is its own area, it incorporates all of Oceania as well. So Australia gets caught up in that. And it's the biggest confederation in volleyball in the world, probably not the most powerful, but certainly the biggest. And to get to the Olympics, Australia has to, in the indoor, it has to come first or second in Asia.
Which is a big ask.
Which is a huge ask, yeah.
Where's the best place that Australia's been in volleyball, both men's and women's, at Olympics and World Championships?
The women's team, look, I don't know what their current rankings are. I'd say the women's team is probably in the 60s in the world, maybe, like, you know, whereas the men's team would generally be in the top 20. But even being in the top 20, to get to be the 16 in the Olympics, you know, you have to go, well, one of those spots has already gone because that's the Olympic host. The world champions get in, and then you're competing for very, very few spots.
So Australia made it in Athens in 2004 and 2012 in London. So how did they qualify for those particular
Olympics? By beating those teams they needed to.
Yeah. So
that, on the back of the success that they had in Sydney in particular. But they basically beat those teams. And I can't remember the year, but certainly in that period, Australia were actually the Asian champions, whereas in the recent Asian Championships, Australia, I think, played off 4th, 5th and 6th.
And that's the thing. I think with basketball, we're lucky enough to – they changed to the – they had did create the Oceania area, and, of course, we've dominated that. And that's given us a great opportunity to get and compete at the Olympics. And we're now seeing – I think you see the benefits of that, don't you? And that's where I think that's the shame for sports like volleyball, because soccer were the same. They're competing in the Asia League, which is so strong. And once you get the opportunity, of course, teams are going to get better.
Yeah. Yeah. If you could basically say that because we are the Oceania zone, and you could basically say to young athletes, you know, you're going to really get a chance here. Like, it's up to you, because the opportunity is going to be there, you know, whereas at the moment you say to athletes, the opportunity is there for you to try and get a chance, not to actually go, you know. And the ability, it would be fantastic. It would be particularly fantastic for the women's program if International Volleyball Federation identified Oceania as a separate zone for the purposes of the Olympics or for the World Championships.
Now, Shane, can you just tell us, for you, what has been the highlight of your career, both playing and administration in volleyball? What do you take out of the sport as being your glowing moment?
A glowing moment. I spent 10 years as the president of Volleyball South Australia, a position which I ended up in because the president at the time, because of his work commitments, had to stop being the president. And I just got asked to step in, and I ended up doing that for 10 years. And then I stepped down from that. I had a couple of years doing nothing but playing volleyball in Gawler, and some people came and said, oh, we think you need to go onto the Board of Volleyball Australia. So I spent 6 years on the Board of Volleyball Australia. And then I came back and got asked to look after the books of the local club.
Well, thank you, Shane. Really interesting. We'll have you on again. We're running out of time now. So, okay. So ends another Carlin Laid Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
Sean Carlin.